at Samoa and Auckland. On Friday, November 2nd, we reached the Samoan Islands after a pleasant voyage of 7 days from Honolulu. We had expected extremely hot weather in passing the tropics, but in this we were happily disappointed. Only a few days were uncomfortably warm. On Tuesday, November 24th, when we crossed the equator, the air was so cool that we found our wraps needful as we sat on deck. Our steamer cast anchor off Apia, which is situated on the island of Upolu, and is the principal town of the Samoan group. The harbour, or bay of Apia, is a beautiful expanse of water, shut in by coral reefs, over which the water is constantly breaking. The island is clothed in the richest and most luxurious verdure. The mountains rise almost from the water's edge. The cocoa palms grow all along the shore and up the mountainsides, which are clothed in green to the very summits. The town of Apia consists of two rows of small white buildings on either side of a narrow street, which winds along the shore. Through an opening in the reef that encloses the harbour, vessels pass in and out. Another reef, lying nearer the shore, prevents them from reaching the dock, but passengers are taken inshore in boats. Before us is a reminder of the terrible storms that sometimes visit this lovely spot. On the reef between us and the shore lies the hull of a German vessel, which was wrecked in the hurricane of March 1889, when 7 men of war and 15 merchant vessels were either wholly destroyed or stranded on the shore. Before our steamer comes to anchor, a novel sight greets our eyes. Boats and canoes filled with natives crowd to the ship's side, and soon we are surrounded with them in every direction. The natives are physically well developed and are said to have the finest physique of any of the South Sea peoples. They are of a light color brown color. Most of them are destitute of clothing, except for a mat or cloth about the loins. Many are elaborately tattooed. Some wear broad-brimmed straw hats, some turbans, while many of them have their hair dressed with lime, giving them the appearance of wearing a cap. The canoes are laden with articles for sale: pineapples, bananas, oranges of a bright green color but of excellent flavor, mangoes, limes, coconuts, and other tropical fruits, shells and coral, mats and cloth, together with baskets and fans, very neatly woven from the native grasses. Most of our party went ashore and had an opportunity of seeing the natives in their homes. The huts are made by spreading over a wooden framework a covering of palm leaves and native grasses. For the floor, the ground is covered with gravel or pounded coral, on which is spread a coarse matting. Mats form the beds at night, and the table and seats by day. Large leaves and coconut shells serve as dishes. Our party was greeted cordially by the natives, who brought them flowers and seemed anxious to show their feelings of kindness. At Apia, they welcome the visits of Americans, seeming to feel that our country has proved a friend to them. At 1 o'clock, the anchor was lifted, and soon our boat was again on its way over the broad Pacific. On November 26th, the day before we reached Samoa, was my birthday. Another year of my life had passed into eternity, and my record for a new year was begun. As I contemplate the past year, I am filled with gratitude to God for His preserving care and loving kindness. At times I have been afflicted in body and depressed in spirits, but the Lord has been my Redeemer, my Restorer. Many have been the rich blessings imparted to me. In the times of my greatest need, I have been enabled to hold fast my confidence in my Heavenly Father. The bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness have been shining into my heart and mind, and the powers of darkness have been restrained. For Jesus, our Savior, lives to make intercession for us. He is able to save soul, body, and spirit, and to make us vessels unto honor, meet for the Master's use. We are living in a perilous time, when all our powers must be consecrated to God, to do His will and keep His way, irrespective of circumstances. We are to follow Christ in His humiliation, His self-denial, His suffering. His command is, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." My heart is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Through faith in Christ, I am made partaker in His heavenly benefits. The exalted privileges, the great grace revealed through Christ, are for all who will obey the words of God. There are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I receive and enjoy these promises, full of divine mercy and truth. It is given me to know for myself that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness.
We owe everything to Jesus, and renewedly I consecrate myself to His service, to work for Him in a strange land, to lift Him up before the people, to proclaim His matchless love. My prayer ascends day and night that the presence of Jesus may go before us. While lying in my stateroom, the language of my heart has been, "My Redeemer, I beseech Thee to engage for me in every conflict. I know in whom I have believed, and Thy grace alone is my trust." It is my prayer that I may through the coming year be a co-worker with Jesus in saving my own soul, which He has bought with His precious blood, and that every day I may learn His meekness and lowliness of heart, that He may use the frail, unworthy agent to bring souls out of darkness into light. I look unto Jesus, for His holy life is a faithful example. I must be daily molded as the clay in the hands of the potter. I must educate my soul, that my confidence in God may be unlimited. Jesus said, "I can of mine own self do nothing." How much more is this true of us? The hope that I can be true or useful is in the atonement made for me. Oh, that this 65th year of my life may be one of progress and perfection in the work which the Master has given me to do. I want clearer perception of truth daily, that I may act in harmony with its holy principles. I have no happiness apart from doing the will of Christ and proclaiming to others His grace and truth. Between Samoa and Auckland, we crossed the day line, and for the first time in our lives, we had a week of 6 days. Tuesday, December 1st, was dropped from our reckoning, and we passed from Monday to Wednesday. At daylight of December 3rd, the coast of New Zealand was in sight, and soon after noon our boat reached the wharf at Auckland. Here is a beautiful harbor, and the town on the hills above presents a fine appearance. We had hoped to meet Elder Gates of the Pitcairn here, but in this we were disappointed. He had come here a month before, expecting to meet us on the arrival of the Monowai. As we did not come, he decided to make a trip to Norfolk Island and return before our arrival. For some reason, he failed to meet us. As our boat touched the wharf, a number of our brethren stepped on board and introduced themselves to us. We had a glad meeting. On landing, we rowed to the house of Edward Hare. Here we found a pleasant home and were refreshed with delicious strawberries, oranges, bananas, and more substantial viands. Then we had a very enjoyable ride into the country. The fresh, sweet air, filled with the fragrance of wild roses, briar, and new-mown hay, reminded us of our northern summer. The green hedges separating the fields make one think of England, while there is much in the landscape to resemble California. The vegetation and general appearance of the country is that of the temperate zones rather than the tropics. In the evening, we met with the church at their house of worship, and I spoke to them in regard to the necessity of receiving Christ as their personal Savior. When we thus accept Him, the beauty of truth will be revealed in us, for in our words and in our life it will be presented as it is in Jesus. There will be no strife to see who shall be greatest, but we shall individually seek to represent Christ, and thus let our light shine to the world. If the words of Jesus dwell in us, we shall represent His love in kindness, in humility, in goodness, coming in close union with the people of God, and working as missionaries of Jesus wherever we have opportunity. Instead of seeking to glorify ourselves, we shall exalt the name that is above every name, Jesus, the center of all attraction. All who believe the truth should remember that they are to bear the credentials of Christ to the world, in their firm unity, their Christian courtesy, and love to one another. Wherever we may be, every follower of Jesus can give to the world a practical illustration of the purity and the power of the truth. We should ever bear in mind that the world should criticize in the conduct of our temporal affairs. Do we work as Christians? That which we may speak in the church is not of half as much consequence as the influence we exert in our daily business life. We are constantly making either favorable or unfavorable impressions of the truth. We should manifest kindness, forbearance, and generosity, not to our brethren merely, but to all who do not love the truth. No man can have a sound, healthful experience unless he practices the instruction Christ has given through the Apostle Peter. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be converted daily is to renew the soul's life by receiving vital power from Christ, as the branch receives nourishment from the vine. The growth of every Christian is from within, not from without. It is only as the Spirit of Christ dwells in the heart by faith that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Only through the grace daily drawn from Jesus can the heart be kept. There can be no safety in extolling self. We must hide self in Jesus. Christ abiding within is the life of the soul, and we are to receive Christ through His Word. It is the truth that sanctifies the soul. We should study the Scriptures even upon our knees with earnestness and sincerity. The love of Jesus in the heart will create a love for the searching of the Word. The work of every child of God is to impart the knowledge of Christ to those who have it not. We must plant the seeds of truth wherever we can. The words of eternal life, sown in many hearts, will bring forth fruit in righteousness. The heavenly intelligences are waiting for God's human agencies to consecrate themselves fully to Him, that He may use them as channels of light. We need to realize our responsibility to cooperate with the heavenly agencies. We belong to God. He has purchased us with the blood of His only begotten Son. We are to represent to the world what Christ is to us.